with us? I don't see him.
He was
right
there.
here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right here, Becky. You see me now?
There he is.
Now I do. I have to go to these buttons on the top. Okay. All right. So this is the meeting of January 7th, 2021. Thank you. And I am calling it to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Board Member Hansen?
Here.
Board Member Sexton?
Here.
Chair Summers?
Here.
Board Member Heller?
Here.
Board Member Andrews?
Here.
Martha Lance? Council?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Sorry.
Okay. The next order of business is the approval of the minutes for November 5th, 2020. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of November 5th, 2020. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Communications for information, residency direction, discussion. Does anybody want to take the lead on this?
I have
Board Member Hansen. Board Member Hansen, I see
I'm not sure. So are you asking us to talk about reconsidering our initial decision, or
can you tell me what you thought our initial decision was? Because I do not believe decision.
Okay, I thought we had voted on reinstating or getting rid of the waiver, the blanket waiver of the residency requirement.
Yes. No, I'm not asking you to reconsider that.
Okay. So what would you like to discuss, Becky?
The discussion would be the direction that we're going to take in the future, not what our past votes were, but rather whether or not we're going to continue to create the residency preference. I, from the last meeting, was not clear on the direction of the board, and I just kind of needed clarification from board members as to where they want to go with that.
Well, I have a very clear direction, as you probably know, and I think the events on the national level have really underlined my the problem with this whole issue. And as I've said before, the voters had this specific issue before them, and they voted to uphold the residency requirement. We, as we have seen in the national news, we live in a democracy. And that means that we follow the will of the voters, whether we like it or not. Now, Trump has said, the voters voted for Biden, but I want to continue to be president. I don't like that decision by the voters. I don't want to follow it. And we've seen what's happened because of that. You know, and we also live in a democracy on the local level as well. We had an election. The voters in the city of Tacoma voted to retain a residency requirement. And we need to follow we are required to follow the will of the voters because we live in a democracy.
Thank you. Are there other comments from other board members?
I am not as familiar.
Board Member Hansen?
Pardon me?
Oh, sorry.
Andrew.
Andrew, sorry. No, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I am not as familiar with what has occurred in the past relative to the issue of residency, and I am new to Tacoma. I came from other parts of the county. So for me, the issue is more, even though I understand and I would agree, we should follow the will of the voters. I agree with that. But my question is more so a process question, is what does preference mean? Is it, when we say that, what steps are associated with ensuring that there was consideration of where the individuals live, residency issues? And what are the options if, in fact, there are no residents relative to the viable candidates? What then are the options we're saying are available to the hiring entities? So for me, it's more so a part of the discussion is a process question, is how does it occur? Because with the COVID and just the direction of a lot of employers, they are able to communicate via Zoom. Now, not all jobs you could work from home and be anywhere in the universe. But the reality is fewer and fewer are requiring that people come to a duty station in a particular place to do work. And not all jobs, I'm sure, Tacoma lend themselves to that. But the reality is what the voters thought they were agreeing to or wanted may have been true for that time, but the circumstances associated with where we are now, technology, at what point do you begin to say, okay, is preference primary based on the job, and when does it become latitude to look more broadly because you work remotely? That's the conversation for me going forward.
Okay. Board Member Heller.
Thank you, Chair Summers. Well, I certainly hear what Board Member Andrews has to say, and that resonates with me. At the same time, what Board Member Hansen said also resonates with me. And being the person that brought up the idea to mimic veterans' preference in a residency preference type process, I was trying to come up with a compromise position. While I see, and I think it's well-intended, at the same time, I think we have manipulated the system with the blanket waiver for far too long, that historically, I believe that this question of residency has been on the ballot twice that I'm aware of in my tenure on the board or around the board, and both times was voted down by members of the public. I think Board Member Andrews, though, made a great point that 2020 was a year like no other and has changed the way that we work and changed the way that we meet. And this meeting is a prime example of that. Given that, perhaps it would be a good idea for the board to look at drafting and seeing if we could put on the ballot the next election, a referendum or a question or whatever it would be most appropriately be called, about residency and a potential preference system. I think that really is the intent of the voters, that they feel that citizens of the city of Tacoma that pay their taxes to the city of Tacoma should have first shot at city jobs, which are good, livable wage jobs. So if we had some sort of a preference system, I think we could have both of the intent behind the rule and at the same time more flexibility within the recruitment and hiring process to really get the best people hired and working for the Tacoma, which city of Tacoma, which we all do want. But I think it needs to be done in a legislative type format where the citizens get a vote, because that's honestly what we all are here to do, is to, swear an oath to protect the city charter. And this was part of the charter, and it's been recently ratified again, at least twice, by the citizens of Tacoma.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Ms. Lance.
I just want to make sure that I understand the conversation. I just don't want to miss anything. So the question, there's a couple questions. One is not on the table, which is the board wanting to go back to the blanket residency waiver and the answer to that is no. So that's not what we're talking about. So the question then is, would the board like to entertain working with HR, I guess, since I think that some of the suggestions for a program have come from Ms. Fritz, to work on designing the possibility of a residency preference program. So I think that's what you're talking about. But then what I thought I heard Board Member Heller say is, yes, that's an idea that is appropriate to be explored from her point of view, but she'd like to explore it in the guise of a ballot initiative to take it to the people, the citizens of Tacoma, for a vote. Did I understand that correctly, Ms. Heller? Okay. So I just want to say, from a legal perspective, the council has the authority to do an ordinance. You don't need to amend the charter. I mean, the charter says what it says, and you could do an ordinance that implements a residency preference based on the recommendation of whatever the board wants to recommend or design. And I'm not certain certainly any one of you as citizens could get signatures and try to put something on the ballot, but I'm not sure if the Civil Service Board as a body would have the ability to do that. So the effect of putting that on the ballot would be to request the council to adopt an ordinance. And I think you can do that without going to the voters. Now, if you want to try to change the charter, that's a charter initiative or a charter amendment that can be proposed in the form of an initiative. But again, I'd want the opportunity to research what the sort of the procedural and jurisdictional authority of the board as a body would be to propose that. So I'm not saying yes or no. I just wanted to make sure that I understood and to remind you that in terms of recommending the adoption of an ordinance, you can do that certainly just with a recommendation to council.
Madam Chair, and I know Dan had a question. I just want to make a comment really quick. Or Dan wanted to make a comment, but I just want to make a comment real quick in response to council's suggestion. And if we want to consider that as an alternative, and I don't, but if other people do, that's fine. But I would also like council to research whether or not the city council can adopt an ordinance that would conflict with the terms of the city charter.
Thank you. Moving on, Board Member Sexton.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I'm interested in what we can legally do as far as following the charter and not following the charter, where we can differ from that. I would be all for handing an ordinance to the council, but I do not want to propose a referendum to the voters. I think we were elected or appointed to represent the voters, and we should be making the decision ourselves, not handing it off. I'd be good with a preference if, you know, if we can figure out how to do it. And, you know, we've been kicking this around for a long, long time. You know, so I just want to know what we could legally do as far as a preference and go with something like that.
I'm sorry.
Ms. Lance?
So what I think is that, you know, the charter says what it says. I mean, there's some ability, as, you know, I know you've gone over this in the past and with Ms. Taylor, and I think she put, you know, all different possibilities in the memo that has been shared with you all. But so the charter says that you have to have residency at the time of appointment. And we've had lots of discussions about how, you know, as soon as the appointment has passed, it's not really possible to continue to enforce that. But, you know, the residency requirement at the time of appointment, I think when we're talking about a preference, it would be a program to augment that requirement, if I'm not mistaken, to meet the policy goal that you all are very interested in, is to give, you know, in the case of the program, a preference or some kind of acknowledgement that we want, as a policy, that you want city jobs to go to city residents. So I don't see that there's a conflict between designing a program that would be adopted by ordinance and the charter as it stands. I don't think you need to amend the charter to add the preference program.
Ms. Fritz, you've been working on this for quite some time, and if you have, and one of the reasons I wanted to hold back on doing anything more in this area and ask for the board's direction is because you do have studies out there. You've hired consultants. You're doing work on these matters. And I kind of want to know at this point, where does human resources stand on residency preference? You've done a lot of work and I really appreciate it. And so where is human resource coming from on this issue?
Sure. So I'll update you a little bit later about the workforce equity study. Mm-hmm. Residency is part of what they looked at in their study and are going to likely make a recommendation on that. In terms of where human resources stands, we obviously would prefer not to have a residency requirement at all, because, you know, we want to open up our positions to as many people as possible, but are also very interested in a residency preference program. And I'm very interested in working with the board on coming to some solution that works for both the citizens of Tacoma and the Civil Service Board and human resources. So to whatever creates the best possible experience for our candidates and also gets us a good pool of candidates. That's where I'm standing.
Thank you. And I would like to suggest that part of the reason residency has been a issue for this board for many years is because the city, I appreciate that you want to have the biggest pool possible to select from, but the city seems to almost detest hiring anybody from Tacoma. And that's why this waiver, well, this is what the residency was created for and why it is in the charter and why we have upheld it all these years. Now we've given latitude and done the blanket waivers, but the truth of the matter is everything has changed and the pandemic has showed who's essential, who's not, has put us in a position where everybody is worried about budgets and what's going to happen in the future. And I appreciate, again, all the hard work that's gone into the residency preference. And I appreciate even more the board's questions about process and procedure and how do you get this to work. And I just don't feel we have enough answers. And I, at this point, would go back to what we have before us, which is a residency requirement and asking the board for a waiver. And the other part of that is we're still under an emergency proclamation, so we're not doing any of our job. And so until something changes, I would like to put this aside until we find out what the consultants have said. I would like to put this aside. I don't believe that we have enough information or good direction or good ideas about how this is going to process into our city hiring practice at this time to move any further forward. And I am of the opinion, as is Eric, that, I mean, as is board member Hansen, that this is the city's law. This is what the citizens have voted on time and again. And it's because they felt like they should be looked at in that broad pool of people first. Not that they have the job, but that they should be looked at first. That's what they've asked. Board Member Sexton.
Madam Chair, thank you for those comments. I concur with everything you said, and I wanted to point out something that you know, I think most of us never mentioned. You just mentioned our existing waiver system. I think it works really good. All the city needs to do is ask the Civil Service Board for a waiver. We'll consider it, and if it has merits, we'll consider it and see where it goes from there. I think that's a very good system, and that works. And if we can't figure out how to do a preference, I don't think the system's broken.
Madam Chair.
Board Member Hansen.
I believe that, yeah, that we have discussed what Board Member Sexton mentioned, that in some instances, there may be an opening for a highly technical position that requires a considerable amount of experience and education, and something like, you know, for example, an engineering position, where the pool limited to city residents would be very small and may be in fact non-existent, depending on the specialization of that particular position. And in those instances, the charter does say that the Civil Service Board can grant a waiver of the residency requirement. And so we talked about situations which may very well require a waiver. And the waiver is not a, you know, a hard and fast rule that applies in every single situation. And I believe there was discussion of regarding positions that are outside the city limits, which may be positions that would perhaps require a waiver. I believe that our position is very workable under the circumstances.
Absolutely.
Are there other board members' comments? Hearing none, we're going to move on, and I hope this has given some direction. And again, I think that Ms. Fritz, when we get more information about where the consultants are and how they've, what their requests are, we'll have a little bit more to work on. So it's going to be pretty quick from here, and we're coming back to you real quick, Ms. Fritz. So actions on matters still pending, new business. We have none this evening. Consideration of matters set for public hearing. We have none this evening. Civil Service Coordinator Report.
This evening.
Human Resource Director Report. I told you, we're right back at you.
Well, good evening again, Chair Summers and members of the Civil Service Board. I have a few follow-up items I want to give you an update on first. The first, I believe they were all from the November 5th meeting. I believe it was Board Member Sexton that requested data on the retention of residents versus non-residents. Wanted to let you know that I'm working, it's sort of a difficult report to gather. So I'm working with our consultants on the workforce equity study to see what kind of information I can get for you on that. I'm hoping to have a report for you by next meeting, but we'll keep you posted on the progress of gathering that data. Board member Heller had asked about Youth Builds Tacoma. So I checked around with folks across the city and at TPU doing internship or apprenticeship type programs. None of them are currently engaged with Youth Builds Tacoma. I'm asking our internship team to take a look, you know, as they're developing our internship program, our citywide internship program, to look into Youth Builds Tacoma to see if that would be a valuable partnership, because it certainly looked interesting to me. So just wanted to report a status update on that. And then last meeting, I don't recall who asked about the Civil Service Board budget.
Ms. Heller. Board Member Heller.
She's got all the good questions.
I know she does.
Wendy and I did some research into that and also kind of the history of what's happened with the budget there. And what we found is in the last biennium, the city moved to what's called program-based budgeting. So a lot of cost centers were consolidated and or eliminated. The Civil Service Board used to have its own cost center, but no longer does. It had about $1,500 in it, and that was primarily used to supply refreshments for study sessions, pay for copying and mailing, and then also any fees for board members to attend the Civil Service annual Civil Service Conference. It was so small, it just got wrapped into the Human Resources Admin Cost Center. So those funds are still available and still being spent on Civil Service Board items. It's just not in a separate budget. So I hope that helps answer some of the questions. Amy, Board Member Heller.
Thank you. That really is helpful. One of my questions, though, had to do with the funding of our coordinator. So that position, that FTE, historically was within the civil service budget. So did you look at the history of that?
We're doing some more work on that, because what we've found so far is there was an FTE, and then it was completely eliminated, and there's no track record of what happened between with those duties were obviously put on Wendy's already full plate, but it's hard to tell kind of what happened in between there. So as far as we can tell, the entire position was eliminated in a budget reduction, I believe. And Wendy just out of the kindness of her heart assumed those duties. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Hobson, for the kindness of your heart.
You are most welcome.
So, any questions on those updates? Okay. So, the other thing I wanted to give you an update on, which you probably already know by now, we have concluded our recruitment for the police chief position. The city appointed Chief Michael Akey as the interim police chief. And he started on July. I'm wishing it was summer already. January 1st. Second on my list is an update on the workforce equity study. We are getting really close on that. The consultants are working on their final report and recommendations, and we'll be sharing a draft with us very soon. Once their recommendations have been finalized, reviewed, and considered, we'll talk about an implementation plan, which I think will provide a good opportunity for us to work together on potential changes to the city charter, municipal code, and other policies and practices related to personnel. So I'm really excited to see that get finalized, because it's been a while. And then finally, good news about the classification and compensation study. As you know, it was put on pause, like a lot of things, in April of 2020 because of COVID. And the city council in December approved funding to continue it so that we can get that completed after all the work that's been done. So they're working on getting that restarted, and information about next steps, from what I understand, is going to be communicated very soon. So stay tuned and we'll make sure that you get that update as a board. And that concludes my report. Any questions?
Shelby? If Chief, is it Ecky?
Ecky.
If he's the interim chief, then is the search continuing?
At this point, no, it is not. So the decision was made to put him in the position as an interim. There's not an end date to that interim appointment, because as you know, and as I told you last time, there's a whole massive transformation happening in the city, especially with police. So there was concern raised in the community, in some of the feedback that we received about having an interim person as the next police chief and continuing, you know, kind of more of the same. On the other hand, there was very positive feedback about Chief Ecky. So the city manager saw this as a compromise. And while we work through kind of the changes that are going to be happening in the police department and next steps. So right now he's the guy. There's not a recruitment still in play. I'm sure one will start again at some point, but there's no immediate plans to continue that recruitment right now. Does that help?
Yeah, sure. If I could, just one more. So how long does someone stay in interim chief? If he's there for 6 months or a year, does he become chief, or we just wait and see? Or but he can't remain the interim chief forever.
Well, technically, there's not a term limit on it. We don't leave people in interim appointments forever. But I think there'll be a point at which the city manager decides, okay, it's time to make a permanent decision here. And whether that's another recruitment or what, I think we just have to wait and see.
Okay. No rules. Nothing. Okay. All right.
So just a question, and on a parallel, is the HR director still an interim position?
No.
So, and how many years? He was the interim for a while. How many years was he the interim HR director?
Not actually that long. So he, I believe, and Wendy, you can chime in here. I believe he started his interim appointment in April of 2017. And then was confirmed as the permanent human resources director in the fall of the same year.
I believe that's correct, but if you will just give me a second, I can tell you for sure. Let me look it up.
Thanks, Wendy.
And while she's looking that up, I would like to thank you for making sure that the list and extension and abolishment were in the minutes, if everybody got them. And I also was looking at the request of competitive examination. I'm assuming all of those were also done before, that we have nothing to do with those either.
What my understanding is, not during the emergency declaration.
Like the information that was in there. And I liked seeing it. So it's not like it's just for the public. Some of us board members actually read them as well.
I appreciate that. Because the people that put those together, as you know, are analysts and
I know, and they do good work. I especially liked the administrative assistant information. It was, and that goes back to something else. And I'm so glad that I am been given this time. We were talking about layoffs and how many were occurring, and you felt like most of those people were going to be picked up and put someplace else. And so when I saw the administrative assistant, I thought, well, maybe that's some of those that were facing layoffs. Maybe that's where they are. Is that, am I accurate?
You are correct.
Oh, I'm so thankful.
We had the great fortune of being able to place all but two people. Two people were laid off. One was an appointive position and one was a classified position. The appointive position already has another job. And the one classified position that we tried multiple times but couldn't quite find a match for is on the reemployment list. But we haven't found a job for her within the city yet. So
it's down to one person, really.
Yes. And I consider that a victory, even though I still think about that one person.
I do too, but I'm with you. I am so thankful that you have been able to place as many as you did. And again, the work is good, and I really appreciate the information. It's helpful because I also worried about those 11 people that were going to face layoffs. Things are very difficult. I donated more funds to the emergency food bank and would recommend to everybody who can do. It's just really scary out there. And so I would not like to see any of the city employees facing dire straits, as many of us are. So
one of those impacted employees just joined Wendy's team as well. So hopefully you'll get to meet her at some point.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So I do have an answer on the HR director. Gary was brought on February 15th, 2017 as an interim director, and he was appointed permanent status as director on July 19th, 2017. Yes.
And he is still our director.
He is.
Because I understood he was planning to retire. Did the pandemic get in the way of that as well?
No, I think he's still considering it, definitely.
Okay.
We just don't have a firm, decision from him yet and a formal announcement.
Okay. Is there any other comments from the board? Any other questions? I'm not trying to rush us. Are there any comments from the public? I know that we have people here, but not necessarily willing to chat or speak, but was there anybody else who would like to say a word to the board? Hearing none, is there any final comments from board members? Hearing none, with no objections, we are adjourned. Thank you all for coming. Bye-bye.
Thank you.